This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig's Inns, Acura of Pembroke Pines, where you can get the TLX 2020 model for $209 a month, $29.99 due at signing, plus tax, tag, and registration. Check it out at 15601 Pines Boulevard.
This is the Big O Show. This is the Big O Show.
All right.
We're back.
Bucks, by the way, tackle Brad Seaton has also opted out. Will qualify for the high-risk stipend of $350,000. He spent the 17 and 19 seasons on the Bucks practice squad. He's also spent time with the Browns and the Titans, and the Titans selected him in the seventh round of the 17 draft. Players, by the way, have till 4 o'clock today to opt out of the season. So,
do you think we're going to see a run here the last couple hours?
Yeah, I think we'll see a few guys hit.
As these guys drop out, like four or five more guys, right?
I don't know if it's going to be 30, 50 guys that are going to drop out, but I can see us getting four or five more names here before 4 o'clock that are just deliberating right now. What the hell do I do? They're talking with their family. They're talking with their agents. If players have, you got to remember that there's a lot of these players, they are depended on by a lot of people sometimes. So they're supporting all kinds of people. And if somebody that they're supporting that they love has, pre-existing conditions, they've got to now consider, okay, how do I handle this? Because money's one thing, but death is another. And this thing, dude.
If they opt in, then you have to stay away from that person for the next, whatever.
Yeah, and if you can do that, then you're all right, Big O, I can remember when driver's education was free in public school. Now they charge $500 to $700. Wow.
What?
Damn. All right.
That was one of those things that your parents were like, hey, you want that license, you got to go take that course so they could get their discount,
Right.
If you took driver's ed. So and then health class was second, right? You took like a half a year of driver's ed and a half a year of health class.
Dude, just pay for some classes, meet Dio driving school or something, and then you're good, bro. Anybody remember meet Dio driving school? That was good. Honestly, you are a machine. Three hours straight on air 5 days a week is a marathon level stuff. I appreciate you, my brother. Listen, all you got to do is listen to radio around. How many people do it solo? Very few people can do it solo. Usually there's two or three people, on a show. And they do it on regular radio with about 25 minutes of breaks in an hour. So they're really only filling 35 minutes, And hell, some of them do a four-hour shift, which is really 2 hours, 2 hours and 20 minutes maybe of talk time because of all the commercial breaks. And then some of them, what they do is they repeat a interview at the back end of that four-hour shift. So it's multiple people on air. It's 25 minutes of commercial breaks, and they're repeating an interview. So, yeah, I appreciate that you notice it, Klee. Because a lot of people don't realize it, But we do our best, man. And listen, it's not easy to come up with 3 hours of talk every day. The good thing is, ladies and gentlemen, we've been pretty lucky now that the last couple of weeks here, it started like with last week pretty much, even though we've had some sports with soccer, but that doesn't drive the conversation nearly as much. But now that we've got a little baseball in there, baseball will drive a little bit of conversation. And then basketball will drive a lot of conversation. Hockey will drive a little bit. And now we got football coming back. So it's really cool to see that we actually have, stuff to talk about, legitimate stuff to talk about. Because for months it was speculative talk, right? I don't even know if that's a word, but you were kind of speculating the entire time on what would happen. You're projecting, all these things that were going on during COVID. So you have no idea, and we're just spitting in the wind. And even with that said, we were still able to, produce a show every single day. Mike No-Go Zone says, just checking in for the first time today. All I got to ask is, are the Marlins for real? Well, Mike, it's what I said yesterday. They're dangerous because they've got nothing to lose. And guys are out there to prove that they belong in the majors. So how do they prove that they belong in the majors? By performing against major leaguers. You know what I mean? So that's the beauty of what you have there. And you got to remember that these teams don't know the Marlins. They don't have a book on all these players. They don't know that this guy struggles with a high fastball. They don't know this guy struggles with off-speed stuff. They have no idea yet. So they've got to also get a book on a lot of these guys and learn who they are. You know what I mean? So the Marlins also have a little bit of the surprise element. You know what I mean? And then you've got to deal also with the I'm not scared element. I'm not fearing you guys whatsoever. I got to get mine so I can stay in this league. And think about it right now. You lost 17 players. You had to replace them. You had to call up some. You had to acquire others. All those 17 guys, they're trying to make the other 17 not come back, which we know that's not the case. It's not going to happen. But my point is those 17 guys are going to bust their asses to try to earn a spot permanently on the roster.
Especially the guys that they had to acquire.
So you've created more competition. Now, we'll see if, you know, everything goes to where most people thought that they weren't going to be a competitive team and they're not going to win a playoff spot or anything like that. But baseball is so weird and you've only got 60 games. Stranger things have happened. You know what I mean? It seems impossible, but because you haven't figured them out yet, and because they're loosey-goosey and nobody expects anything from them, they are playing with house money the entire time. And that's what you're watching with this Marlins team. So it's nice to play without consequences. It's nice to play, although there are personal consequences because you're fighting for playing time, but you're not fighting expectations. You're not fighting an SI article that said you were supposed to win this many games and you're supposed to be in the playoffs and you're a contender. You know, the Washington Nationals have to deal with that kind of stuff every year, and they would fall short and they would be criticized for it. Last year, they finally broke through and won the World Series. So these are things that are to the Marlins' favor right now. But eventually, Mike, talent will take over. It has to, because that's normally what it is. So we're going to find out a lot about their opponents and the Marlins over the next couple of weeks. But for now, I got to say, dude, I'm enjoying it. And you got to admit that if, okay, those of you that don't like baseball and don't follow it, obviously you don't care about what I'm about to say. But those of us that do follow it and we care, and those of us that care about the Marlins and want our hometown team to do well, your intrigue level has to be at an all-time high right now with the Marlins, right? I mean, they're 5-1. Who the hell predicted that they would be 5-1? My Lord, they come out of a hotel room to have to play doubleheaders. They haven't been playing for a whole week that they should be used to everything. No. And then half the team is new. Because you just added a bunch of guys that weren't part of the team that just started the season. I mean, they have every reason to be 1-5. Not 5-1. Okay? If the Marlins were 1-5, you would be saying, you wouldn't be ripping them. You'd be like, well, you know, dude, look at everything that's gone on. COVID. They lost all these guys. They were stuck in a hotel room. I mean, these guys have got to be demoralized. Yeah, I'm not surprised they're 1-5. It sucks, but yeah, I'm not surprised. 5-1? 5-1? Come on.
Throw a scenario at you.
Throw it.
They go undefeated with these guys, these 17 new players. What do you do with the 17 that are okay to come back?
That's Mike Hill's job. It's Mike Hill's job. You know? And you know that rule kicks in now that they go down to 28 instead of 30.
You know what I saw?
I was thinking that should not be to the Marlins and to the Cardinals right now. If you've been ravaged, not lost one guy, but if you've lost over five, let's say, you should not be limited to 28. You should be given those extra two because, dude, you've lost a lot already.
Did you also hear that with these, you know,
what, once everybody's healthy, then you're back to 28.
With these doubleheaders, they're talking, and there's going to be a bunch of teams that are going to have to do this, okay?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to increase and grab that extra guy. Bring up that pitcher. How we used to be able to go from 25 to 26. You know, even when it reduces down to 28, you're still going to be stuck at 28. You cannot add a player on
But you can send somebody down and then call somebody up. I'm sure you'll be able to do that. You can still do that. So it takes up a spot, but you're clearing a spot by sending somebody to the minors. Now, the question is, does it take away from the trips that they can make to the minors and the majors? Is that excluded from this season? You only have a couple times. You only have a certain amount of times you can be called up.
And then you're locked.
And then you're locked. So I don't know if they've waived that this year. I'm not exactly sure.
You know what? There's so many of the rule five. There's so many of these little intricacies with baseball. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
That I got to think that all that is by the boards this year, man, because it's a bastardized season, man. You got to do whatever you can to get through, right?
Yeah.
You think they give teams a little leeway. And plus the fact that they eliminated the minor leagues, man. You know what I mean? Why not have a couple extra guys, you know, on a doubleheader?
Well, they do. It's 28 instead of 24. But
I know
it was 30, but now it's down to 28. So they are giving them a couple of extra
guys.
No, but
you know what I'm saying, man. There's no single, no double, no rookie league, no triple A. Like, man.
No, but they have a group of people that are playing.
Okay, and it's 30. It's basically 32 of them now because your roster is out to 60.
Right.
So 32 of them are wherever, and hopefully they're in different spots. You don't want all 32 together because if something happens, you got to have two different.
No, they're together, bro. They have to be playing games. You need people to pitch.
But
and
you
catch.
See what I'm saying?
No, I know, I understand. But
it's
you have no choice. You're not in a bubble, dude. So that's the life you have to live.
You know what? And at every turn, here is for you to fall on your face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From your lack of setup and factoring in what we've seen. Bottom line, man, we saw it. The rash go through the Marlins and the rash go through the Cardinals. Why would you think it wouldn't touch those 32 guys now that are, you know?
But that's what they have to live with. They're stuck in that in
lack
that
of
system.
Foresight by them, man.
Rosendo says Marlins in first place. I need to wake up from this dream. What's next? The Panthers winning the Stanley Cup? Yeah, no, that would take acid. Forget about falling asleep and dreaming. That would take acid to imagine the Panthers do that. RIP Prince TV says, how the hell does this channel only have 2.68 subscribers? Where's the justice? Where's all my doll fans, at least? Thank you, RIP Prince TY. Very nice of you, my man. Share the link. Tell your dolphin friends. Tell your sports friends. Tell everybody out there. Pass it on. Tell them, hey, give us a follow. Give us a listen. Appreciate the support, that kind of stuff. And that'll help us move up in the subscribers. All right. So thank you very much, all of you out there, as always, working hard for all of us. MLB has announced that they are staying with the 30. Oh, they are? Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. Did they announce that today? I'm glad they're doing that because that's the fair thing to do for the
that's got to be new today because last night they were talking about it, you know, and obviously I was watching the Yankees and the Marlins, and they were mentioning all the, you know, doubleheader, and you can't add a guy like you used to, and we're about to go down to 28.
Well,
you know.
This came in last night. It says Major League Baseball and the Players Union plan to maintain 28-man rosters through the end of the postseason amid continued challenges posed by coronavirus. Two people familiar with the matter, the people spoke to the Associated Press on the condition of anonymity on Tuesday night because the agreement has not been announced. The move is pending the approval of team owners in an upcoming vote. Rosters are set to shrink from 30 to 28 on Thursday
and the union has told the players to expect them to remain that size through the completion of the World Series. So the sides that originally agreed to cut rosters to 26 on August 20th, taxi squads will be expanded from 3 to 5 players. Before the pandemic shut down, spring training prompted MLB to shorten the 60-game schedule. The league and union had agreed to expand active rosters from 25 to 26 this season. So apparently it's still going to go to 28, like what I thought. So that sucks. I haven't, at least I just pulled up hardball talk, and I have not seen anything else from that, my man. Let's see. It must be under 3,000 because of the no phones thing. There you go. Robert is on hold. Yeah, that's probably what it is. Okay. That's probably what it is. But thank you all out there for, as always, caring and wanting to move the show along, which is always a beautiful thing. All right, let's do this. It is 1:30. We are out here at Toyota of Hollywood, 1841 North State Road 7. I saw where Warren Sapp, Warren Sapp got slammed for a stupid comment. I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you see this, what Warren Sapp did?
No, I did not, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you can't be. What is it about Warren Sapp, dude? And look, it's interesting when you talk about him here in this town, because you have the UM fans, right? And it's the UM fans, by the way, that have never had an experience with him usually.
Most, he walks on water.
Right. Those UM fans that really don't know Sapp and have never dealt with him, they don't know what kind of a Class A jerk he's been throughout his life. They've heard of it, and they've seen all the stupid things he's done also and got arrested and all that other stuff. And he's been a Class A jerk forever, okay? He just is, no matter what anybody tells you. So Sapp, right, he sees J.J. Redick, and Redick has a message on the back of his jersey, like a lot of other players have, because they've all chosen to, you know, support the Black Lives Matter movement, which is a fantastic movement, something we all should be, you know, a part of and support, that we, you know, get equality in this damn world for everybody. I mean, that video I saw yesterday of the woman and the three kids getting taken out of the van. Did you see that video, dude? That thing was disgusting.
No.
And the kids were crying and all that. It's on my Twitter feed. And again, it was just gross. But anyway, so we know that this is going on constantly. Okay? So J.J. Redick has on the back of his jersey, it says, "Say their names." Okay? Because, you know, it's "Say my name." They've been doing it for Breonna, right? But there's another saying that says, "Say their names," because we all know there isn't only one person that's been, you know, treated unfairly. There's been many. So Warren Sapp, not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, sees J.J. Redick's jersey and says, "Anybody see this, J.J. Redick, say their names? Ain't it say her name?" And then he put hashtag justice for Breonna Taylor. "Either join in, don't change the message, shaking my mother effing head." Okay, because he puts SMMFH, right? And so right after that, first of all, it's pure ignorance on his part. He doesn't get it, okay? Yes, it is say her name when you're just talking Breonna. But it's say their names because it's many, okay? Just like that woman and the three kids in the minivan that the cops stopped and thought it was, you know, a stolen car or whatever and treated them like criminals, dude. I mean, those kids were crying, and it was just, that video made me sick to my stomach watching that video. And Myron, thank you for sending me that video. So, Warren clearly was out of line,
And the beauty of social media is, well, you're going to get checked in social media. So somebody by the name of Doc Steller retweets back to Warren Sapp. What have you done to assist social injustice? You are part of the problem. Instead of understanding and doing some research, you spit hatred. Okay? For what? To check if any rocks are left up there? Another guy that is called Ronnie Shepard 2 says, no, it's say their name, bro. Breonna isn't the only person whose killers are still free. Trayvon Martin's killer is still free. And a gang more of our brothers and sisters' killers are still free and still policing our streets. That's the beauty. So they, again, a Brandon Lowe retweets at Sapp. So you attack the white guy wearing the exact same saying as numerous African-Americans in the league, and that's been chanted by the BLM movement. Go ahead and show your true colors. And then again, another guy by the name of Tyron DeQuan says, imagine being upset about something like this.
You know who's cringing right now, right?
And so, wait, hold on a second. Sapp then gets retweeted by a guy named Tay. Did this MF really say this ignorant S? LOL. Okay. Another guy. I mean, it goes on and on. Juanito, I know you're an OG and all, but this ain't it. He just puts. And then another one says, Derek Washington says, you're saying the same thing to Drew Holiday? Asking for a friend. Log off or learn to appreciate an ally. Which, again, it's remember what we talked about. Okay, part of this movement, right, is to find equality for all. And we know that blacks have been mistreated, especially by the police, for a long, long time. Okay, so we're trying to create equality. And you've got plenty of people that are standing by you that are not black. They're white. They're all kinds of nationalities. They're Asians. They're Hispanics, all that. And they're standing by you. That's why when Steven Jackson or Nick Cannon spew hate towards the Jewish community, you know, it's that kind of ignorance and that kind of stupidity doesn't help, because we got to fight anti-Semitism because it's prominent in this country. It's prominent in the world. We got to fight for women and their rights because they get abused on a consistent basis. We got to fight for the LGBT community. So the idea is for everybody to get behind those different battles. And just like what's going on with the black movement, we look what happened with the Washington Redskins. Finally, the foot was put down and said, okay, this is derogatory. This has got to be eliminated. And it was. The Edmonton Eskimos, apparently the Eskimos, I did not know this, but apparently the Eskimo Nation in Canada did not like that their culture was being used as a prop for a CFL team, and that was changed. That's the idea. It starts with the Black Lives Movement. It starts with all of us getting behind that, but then it also rolls over to all of us, including the black community, joining everybody else to get behind anti-Semitism and let's eliminate that, to get behind the LGBT community, because there are people from the LGBT community that are fighting for Black Lives Movement and that are fighting for anti-Semitism and that are fighting for women's rights. So we all have to help each other because that's kind of what this whole thing is all about. At least that's the way I view it. That we pick up momentum for one, and then it trickles into the others, okay? Nobody's been abused like blacks. I think nobody's going to argue that, okay? But there are others that need help too, and the idea is for all of us to get together as brothers and sisters, and what we cannot do is take shots at other people and spew hate in other directions. And a guy like Warren Sapp is too stupid and too ignorant to actually understand that. And that's why he puts out a tweet like that, because he's racist.
because that's a level of racism that's coming out of him. Just like when we catch the Kens and the Karens of the world on video and they're spewing hate, just like we catch policemen spewing hate, same thing, man. Everybody's got biases in every part of our communities. And yes, the beauty of it is a guy like Warren Sapp is exposing his own. That's the beauty, you know? Part of the problem. Not Warren Sapp is part of the problem, not part of the solution. We don't need people like Warren Sapp. We don't need the Nick Cannons of the world. We don't need people like that. They don't help what we're trying to do together as a society. Not as a black community, as a society. Okay? Because that's what it's supposed to be.
What I was saying, you know who's cringing? UM. They're sitting there. There's another one of them making us proud.
Right.
Ugh.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, are you, when it comes to Warren Sapp, are you surprised at this point? You know what I mean? Can't be. You know? Gilbert Arenas. Let's get into a little Gilbert Arenas because I thought it was kind of funny. Gilbert Arenas was, they caught up with him. TMZ caught up with him, right? And he was talking about players in the bubble. Now, I want you to listen to this, okay? Let's play Gilbert Arenas and this interview talking about players in the bubble. Go ahead.
Prima donnas.
Oh, prima donnas. Why do you say prima donna?
Because, you know, you're used to a certain lifestyle, so when you get it cutting off, you always complain, but yeah. It is what it is.
They're just complaining about the restrictions and being locked down in a way. Yeah. Like, you know, we saw what Lou Williams did. Do you think people are going to learn from Lou going out to, this, to Magic City or no?
No. I mean, you're talking about grown men, 85% of them single. You have them locked up in Disneyland, I mean, Disney World, like, nah.
It's tough, so they're, they're having some trouble with that.
Yeah.
And more so with just their freedom and the ladies and just being out.
I'm just mad that he said he went in for chicken wings, like, I mean, it's a strip club. I mean, yeah, I went in for the thighs, and you know.
Right. They do have good food, though, there.
I don't know, I would never eat at a strip club.
No, that's true, yeah.
I don't go to the strip club to eat wings.
A lot of people do, though, it's like a thing.
I can go to Wingstop for wings.
That's true.
I go to the strip club to see
strippers.
That's
true.
Now, that part of the interview is funny because, like, they got good food, and then he says, why wouldn't he just, oh, okay, yeah. Man. So you hear the guy agree with him at first, but the guy sounded like he would go to a strip club to eat wings. I'm talking about the camera guy. As for Gilbert Arenas, Gilbert Arenas has not played ball since the 2011-2012 season. Okay, so it's like 9 years ago, and he barely played that year. I think he played, you know, under 20 games. So he barely was a factor in that. He barely played the 2 years prior to that, too. He didn't play a lot of games either, okay, overall. So this is a guy that has not had a lot of connection with the NBA. Here's where, first of all, I got to call complete BS. He's not talking to guys in the league. He doesn't have any more friends in the league at this point. The people he probably associated with, they're all gone already. You know, he's not getting a consensus. There's too many. There's been too much turnover. And Gilbert Arenas, Hibachi, is not the kind of guy that people would lean on for conversation. I mean, I think we kind of remember the way the guy was, medio loco, as we say. When it comes to credibility, I don't think that Gilbert Arenas would be the guy that I would be looking at. And right now, I'm looking at the NBA and the way it's gone. It's been pretty damn smooth. Okay? Outside of the Lou Williams thing, overall, it seems to me like those guys are making the best of what they're doing in the bubble. You know what I mean? I don't hear a lot of rumblings would be going on already at this point if people wanted out, if they were frustrated and all of that. Is it a perfect situation? Of course not. Are people going to be a little, you know, maybe let's say a little cabin fever because they're kind of locked up? Of course, that's normal. happens to all of us when we're, you know, we have to be home a lot. You know what I mean? Unless you're a homebody and it's something you can adjust to. But most people, I get it, they struggle with it. But unfortunately for Gilbert, he's a guy that I give no credibility whatsoever. I don't believe he has any consensus of what's going on in the bubble, because I think he's been so much out of basketball for so many years that I don't think he has a connection with too many players left. And the few players that are left that are old and knew who Gilbert Arenas' crazy ass was, they're not talking and dealing with him. So I love how the TMZ guy is going for a soundbite, is what he's doing. And sure enough, if you know any history of Gilbert Arenas, why not? You might get something, which he didn't really say anything too crazy. I just think he was just completely inaccurate. I think he wasn't really honest, because I don't think he has any kind of a vibe of what's going on inside that bubble. All right, 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the text line, that's 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the text line, I saw this story, and if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm intrigued by the story. Now, again, I preface any NFL story with if we have a season, okay, because I still struggle with them having a season in a contact sport like this. But Derek Carr met with the media on Tuesday, and he was talking about the way he's kind of been viewed. And, you know, he's going into his seventh year now. He did not consider opting out. He goes, hey, did I think about opting out? I did not. I have a lot to prove to myself. I have a lot to prove to my organization. I'm being completely honest with you. I'm tired of being disrespected. So there's no question I was going to play this year. And he has started 94 of a possible 96 games since being drafted in 14. He's got pretty decent numbers, 64% completion percentage, 143 touchdowns, 62 interceptions. But again, hasn't won anything big and had those injuries down the stretch a couple times in the postseason where they were kind of laid out with the Michigan State kid that wasn't ready to play at that moment. And that moment was too big for him. At that time. And so, you know, and he didn't play, he played well last year, but he does have, I'm a Derek Carr fan. Now, Derek has had a couple of injuries and he hasn't gotten over the hump. I don't know if I blame that all on Derek, but I will say this, that if I'm a Raiders fan, I like that he's coming in with a chip on his shoulders. That's how Tom Brady lives his life. That's how Russell Wilson has lived his life. That's how Aaron Rodgers lives his life. And now that you drafted Jordan Love and all of that, that chip's going to get even bigger now, dude. And a guy like that is already a Hall of Famer, you think he doesn't play with a chip on his shoulders? He does. They all do. Michael Jordan did it. Steve Young, I'm sure, had that chip on his shoulders, sitting on the bench, waiting for that moment. And then when he got it, he took advantage of it. So if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm happy about that, okay, that I got a quarterback that 7 years in understands that he hasn't accomplished anything as a team, which is true. But there's a lot of players that haven't accomplished anything as a team, and they're making good money, and they put up decent stats, and they're happy with that. They're content with that. And I think that if you're a Raiders fan, you have a quarterback that's not content is good. The guy that thinks, well, no, I played well, you know, it's all the people around me is the problem. That doesn't help, and especially from that position. That position, you need to always demand more from yourself, expect more from yourself, and your job is to elevate. While maybe you've put up stats, maybe you haven't done a good enough job to get the best out of other people around you. And I got to say, I like the fact that he has that Rodney Dangerfield type of attitude. Yeah, I get no respect, you know. I like that. I think it's, like I told you, you can point at some of the best players in the history of the game, dude. You think Larry Bird didn't play with some kind of motivation? There is a reason why these guys are as great as they are, because they convince themselves that you don't believe in them, even though you may. You know, Tom Brady right now, he has this thing like he's been disrespected to the max, and he wants to go out and prove it. And it's not just Belichick. Some people, he probably thinks people in New England think he's done. He probably thinks people around the NFL, well, he's lost it. He won't be the same guy. Can he hold up all that? He creates all of that narrative for himself, and that becomes motivation. So I like to hear that from Derek Carr. I don't care about the Raiders. I don't care if they lose every game, to be honest with you. I'm just glad they built a stadium in Vegas so I can go to Vegas with the Dolphins to go see them kick their ass. That's all I'm saying.
Hopefully between Christmas and New Year's.
Well, it depends on the virus, but yes. You know?
I'm not counting on it, but, you know.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. Clifton Wellman goes, BLM sucks, and I'm a black man. Yeah, see, that's the problem there. You're thinking about the organization. When I say Black Lives Movement, I'm not thinking about the organization and any politics that might be involved with that. I just think about human beings. That's the difference between me and a lot of people out there. You know, you politicize things. And I know that people that have been tied to that organization, there are certain things that they don't like that they've done. Some people defend it. Some people go against it. I don't care about that, dude. I just care about my black brothers and sisters. That's all I'm worried about. You know what I mean? I'm not worried about an organization. I'm just worried about human beings being treated fairly. And that organization really has nothing to do with it. Okay? I know that they have their own agenda and all of that, but I'm just talking about human beings. That, to me, is what the BLM is. It's about human beings, not about an organization. That's just me, okay? But that's kind of the way I view this, Clifton. I don't view BLM as an organization. I view BLM as human beings is what I do. So when I am for, you know, helping the LGBT community, I'm talking about the human beings that create the LGBT community. When I'm talking about anti-Semitism, I'm talking about all of my Jewish brothers and sisters that have to deal with anti-Semitism every single day. Not any organization that's in charge of it or for the LGBT community or for the black. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the politics. I don't want to get tied up in the politics. I tell you guys all the time with that. That's why I don't care about Democrats or Republicans. I see the negatives in both. I see how both parties are all screwed up. That's why I voted for Republicans and I voted for Democrats, because I kind of end up voting for the lesser of two evils every time I vote. It's not because I choose a side. I'm trying to vote for what I think is best for all Americans. You know what I mean? And all Americans is the black community. All Americans is the gay community. All Americans is our Jewish brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? That, to me, is what I'm fighting for. Not an organization. Alexa V, the president, is chiming in with a little super chat. Thank you, Alexa. Appreciate it. She says, going to sack Josh and Hi-O and Bill. There we go. Big O, what are your thoughts on Governor DeSantis and Scott trading barbs over Florida's unemployment fiasco? I don't like either guy, to be honest with you. I think DeSantis is a freaking clown. You know, he's... He's just a hair under the idiot in Seattle that allows autonomous zones. A lot of our leadership is all screwed up. It's not just the president. It's not just our governor. It's not just the people in Seattle. It's not the clown in California. I mean, it's been mishandled on both sides of the fence. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. What can I tell you? I know that people are going to make mistakes. Look at Cuomo and forget about the politics. New York screwed up like crazy at the beginning, right? But now, after the screw-ups, they got it right and they figured it out. And they're taking it to their and they're going to even more extremes. I don't know if you saw what New York is doing now. They have traced a lot of their cases, the few cases that they have now, but they're tracing them all to people out of state that are coming in. So now they're going to have like people at their borders to track these people that are coming into their state, and because they're going to try to figure out ways of limiting it coming back in to New York. And if you look at their cases, they're minimal compared to us. Whereas we had the pandemic and then we never learned from it. We brought the numbers down and then we opened back up again. And now the numbers are the worst in the world now. And that shows me poor leadership. Look, dude, everybody screwed up with this. Everybody. Democrats, Republicans, medical professionals. Nobody knew enough about this virus at the beginning. But as you know and as you learn, then that's when you're supposed to adjust and get better. But here in Florida, we keep making the same mistakes. In Texas, they keep making the same mistakes. In California, they keep making the same mistakes. And so the cases are exploding. In Georgia, morons too, keep making the same mistakes. And it's like, you know what you have to do. Why aren't you doing it? And in New York, they were the first that got hit hard. And then they said, it's over. This is what we're going to do. And they took a hardline approach. And look what's gone on with them. So I give them credit for learning. Europe got bombarded. Spain, Italy, all these places. And now they brought it all down again. And they've controlled it. And they can have soccer. And they're starting to get back to normal again because they've controlled the virus. We have had poor leadership on both sides of the fence. They have not handled it the right way. They have screwed everything up. That's it. That's all it is. I hate to say it, but that's just the way it is. And if you want to politicize it and, oh, because you're a Republican and you think the Democrats are the only ones that screwed up and you're a Democrat because you think only the Republicans are screwed up, you're dead wrong. Everybody has contributed to this problem. The Democratic mayor in Portland allowing all that rioting every single night. Are you kidding me, bro? That you're helping spread the virus there and you're allowing crime to take place every day. Where's that good leadership, dude? Where's that good leadership? You know what I mean? It's just, it's bad leadership everywhere. And DeSantis is one of the biggest clowns that we have in this country. But that's fine. He has assured himself that he will not get elected again. Just like Trump. Trump will get his ass out by a bum. You know what I mean? Because Biden is nothing. And by the way, this whole thing is set up perfectly for Biden. Less communication, less time he's out in front of people to make mistakes and just say stupid things and step all over his words. So, and then he allows Trump to just bury himself every single day with stupid things that he says every single day. And so then because Trump runs his mouth and is going to tweet, he's going to bury himself and keep doing dumb things. And Biden stays quiet in his basement. He ends up winning it by default. Not that he's going to be any good, but he's at least he's not the evil person that this guy is. That's the only benefit out of it.
If his people allow him to debate Trump, get on that stage and have those three debates they're supposed to have, They're idiots.
There has to be one debate. There has to be, Bill. There has
not going
to
be
one.
A good look for him.
Okay, I know that.
Biden's
terrible, dude. Biden's terrible.
It's not good.
There'll be one. There'll be one, and they'll prep him as much as possible to try to prop him up there to make him look. To make him look.
In the Democratic debates, he looked bad.
It's not that he looks bad, bro. He is bad.
He's not worse than the other guy.
The other guy's a terrible human being. That's what I'm saying. Yes. They're both bad politicians. They're both going to be terrible for the country. But the other guy's just evil. He's a racist.
Hey, and listen, you know why the state of Florida, we do what we do? Because we must be first at being the worst. First worst.
Yep.
We must be first.
Yep. You're right. Speaking of all of this, what's it called? Aaron Donald for the Rams. I love honesty. Okay. I know some people don't appreciate honesty at times, and because they don't want to hear the truth. Right. And that happens to a lot of people, that when they have to deal with honesty, it's something that they want to tune off because it gets in the way of their reality. And I've told you many times, as much as I love football and I want to see all 16 weeks of football, I want to see the playoffs, I want to see the Super Bowl. I'm really excited about watching the Dolphins get better this year. They're not going anywhere. But just to watch him take that next step, maybe possibly see Tua play sometime in the second half of the season, those kind of things. There's a lot of things to look forward to with the Dolphins, you know, just for developmental purposes. I'm not getting any crazy about any kind of big accomplishments, but just the progress, because I get excited about that. I'm looking forward to it, right? But Aaron Donald was asked about football in COVID, wearing a mask that they've created and trying to stay away from it. Here's brutal honesty from an NFL player.
I ain't tried. I honestly probably won't even put that on. I need air when I'm out there running around and breathing with them long drives and stuff. So I feel like we out there, we playing up close. There's nothing you can really do to, you know, if a guy got it and I tackle a guy, then I probably got it, because he's going to be sweating and spitting and slobbering all in my face. So hopefully you guys are just doing what they need to do. And there's not that shield. They say it worked, but I don't really think it would.
He's right. It's not going to work. And like he said, he has to breathe. You know what I mean? And when he says, oh, a guy's on top of me, he's going to be sweating and breathing on me. And so he's resigned to the fact that he's going to play a sport that there's a good chance his opponent will have COVID and he'll get it because he has no choice. And that's basically you can protect yourself, try to do it as much as possible, but to expect in that environment to not end up with it, it's almost impossible. I mean, look at hockey. Hockey has got a boatload of contact, but they're in a bubble. Everybody's tested. Everybody's controlled. There's nobody going out for wings at a strip club. Right? There's nobody going off to parties. There's nobody going out with their IG models. That's what's going to happen in football. There's going to be an IG model. She's going to see number 47 on the field. She likes him. She's going to look for his IG account. She's going to DM him. He's going to look at her picture. He's going to go, whoa. Because he's 25 years old. He's got a boatload of money. He's got a nice crib. And he's got a beautiful babe that's reaching out to him. What would you do? 25, you're invincible. You got a ton of money. You're playing in the NFL. The last part, you're going to go out with her. Because that's what we all do. That's natural. That's instincts for men, okay? It might not be for Tim Tebow. It might not be for Russell Wilson, but there's only a couple of those guys. The rest of the guys that got money, they're young, they're famous, and those IG models reach out and she's got COVID. She doesn't know it because she's young and beautiful and it's not affecting her right now. She's anti-symptomatic. When you've got it, but you...
Asymptomatic.
Asymptomatic. There you go. She's asymptomatic. She doesn't know.
I was going to say, she's full of cooties. Is that what you're saying?
She's got them cooties. She's got them cooties. So it's Common and Tiffany Haddish are they're going out now, and Tiffany was asked, hey, what happened? We're in COVID, and you're going out with Common, and she goes, don't worry, we both tested each other for everything, and yes, we're effing, just like that. So there you go. Tiffany Haddish and Common are a couple all the way through now. They've been quarantining and doing everything else together. So, but again, now those are two adults, but I'm just saying, in football, this is going to happen. Aaron Donald knows it. And that's it's almost like the attitude that you got to have. I mean, in that sport, you're going to end up with it, man. I guarantee you, you're going to end up with it. And he has this the right attitude, sadly, but it's the right attitude. Lisa says, not a fan of Cuomo here in New York, but like you said, screwed up in the beginning, did some questionable things, but he got it together now. We're doing 100% better than we were. DeSantis is a tool. Yeah, there's no doubt. You can't say Cuomo is not doing the right thing now. Yeah. I mean, but again, everybody screwed up. Everybody at the beginning got this wrong. If you're getting it wrong now, that's pretty ignorant. Okay? Think about it. That's like, you got on a horse that's really wild. It bucked you off. You've never ridden a horse before. Then you get back on again, and it kicks you off. You shove your shoulder against a pole or whatever, and you dislocate it. And a week later, you want to ride the horse again. Well, then, dude, I mean, and you end up with a broken forehead. You got what you deserved. You're an idiot. You know you can't ride the horse. You know it kicks you off. You want to keep doing it? Well, that's your fault. That's the worst part, watching Texas and California and Florida consistently screw up when you know that what you're supposed to do, and you did it before, and you brought it down, and yet you keep doing it, that shows you ignorance. Whereas in New York, they screwed up royally at the beginning, and then they fixed their problem, they figured it out, and they've attacked it. That's called actually educating yourself and then learning from it. And then actually doing it. And that's what they've done in New York. And that you have to give them credit for that.
Okay? There's one state that I've been watching, obviously having personal interest. My sister and my brother-in-law, my niece is there. Tennessee, man. Tennessee has creeped up into the top 15. They have slowly. Oh, yeah,
that's because they keep doing stupid things, probably.
And my sister told me, because they're in like this place, Saudi Daisy, which is out of Chattanooga. And she said it's more about the cities, like, but where we're
Nashville
at,
and all
it's
that, yeah.
Everybody, they're responsible. She said everybody wears masks. Everybody makes sure they keep their space. And she said a lot of it has to do with the fact that most of where we're at, it's family.
Right.
Kids, and everybody taking care of each other. They, kind of community. We're together in this.
Right.
And you know what? That's what it is, bottom line. It's about, do you care about your fellow man, the other person?
And again, if you're screwing up now, at this point, after everything you should know, I can't help you anymore.
We need a chisel and a hammer, man, to break into your head. Just hard-headed.
Right.
You're hard-headed.
Right. And you're just tooling for the other guy, That's all it is. Well, what can I tell you? Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to wrap it up here on the show. Actually, we went over 3 hours today, right?
Yes, we did. And I would just like to say that standard of at least 145-minute segment, you've been on for 54 minutes straight, bro.
54 minutes straight. All right. That's not bad.
Good job.
That's not bad. Let's see. Anything else here on the both candidates are garbage. I don't know if I'm even going to vote. Well, John, you should vote for somebody. You should vote. Hey, there have been times that I've voted for one of the two candidates, and it's not like I'm convinced, but I'm just picking the lesser of the two evils that I think.
Firm believer.
So whoever you think is the best one out of the two, John, I say you should vote at least.
You got to vote if you're gonna have a voice to complain or say whatever. You have to vote, right? Have that. If you don't, then you can't complain.
Clifton Wellman says, sorry, Big O, missed everything you said, had to step away. I'll watch it later. If a group uses a name, then to destroy another group, like the nuclear family, that's just like SAP. Exactly. Exactly. Yep. I'm with you there. All right, we got to wrap it up. We thank our super chatters for chiming in. As always, Julius 305, by the way. Got a super chat in. He says, come on, Bill, pick up the phone lines. They're slammed again. So there you go. So
I only have two hands, man.
Julius 305, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you chiming in a couple times on super chatting. Alexa V, Dougie Fresh, Weapons X United, who always sends in like this odd number. You're amazing. Kenneth Cleveland, man of 1,005 holds, all of you out there for tuning in, watching, viewing, listening, texting, tweeting, emailing, however it is, you support us and our amazing sponsors like the great people here at Toyota of Hollywood. We thank you as always. We just got another super chat in from Ray Grulong, and Josh sent in another one. Awesome show. Thank you, Josh.
We want information.
Who are you?
I'm a go-getter.
Who are you?
Dumbass material all the way.
I am not.
Dumbass.
I am a
super chat. Thank you. Ray says, late super chat. Hey, better late than never. Ian from Brooklyn sends in another one. He says, stick and stay. Great show. You know, if I had 25 minutes of commercials per hour, then I probably could stay on for 6 hours because I would have material to stretch out for 6 hours. I don't know if I have any more material.
And there still would be stuff that would fall on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I do have a couple here that I still didn't get to.
You know, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I do have not.
This
too many.
Is the norm, my brother.
Not too many left, but there are a couple of things left. But we got Heat and Bucks this afternoon at 4:00. Not expecting a monster game from the Bucks because I think they're going to rest their guys. A little soccer tonight. Orlando and Minnesota. The Orlando City, by the way, is favored by 1.5 in that one. The over and under I told you yesterday was 2.5 to go over. And the score was 2-1, so you would have won. Again, go over 2.5 today on the bet for the MLS. Okay, so just on the MLS side, I've done really, really well on my suggestions.
How much money have you made?
That's between
you
us.
You don't want to go? Okay,
it's between us. I just want to keep pissing off the cha-ching. Bookie. Piss off the bookie. Anyway, go over the 2.5. I will see you guys. Bill and I will see you tomorrow. We thank Bill and Philippe also, by the way, handling all of the video. We thank Steve Ostrov, all the great people out there. Herbie Lopez is out here, man, ready to take care of you. All the phenomenal people here at 1841 North State Road 7 out here at Toyota of Hollywood. We'll see you tomorrow from Craig's Inn Acura. Be good out there.